The material in this podcast is for information purposes only. It does not represent the opinions of Vested Finance and is not intended to be investment advice. We recommend you to consult with a financial advisor before committing to any financial decisions. Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 19 of our Vested Finance podcast. I'm Kaihan, your co-host. Joining us for today's session is Darwin, one of the co-founders of Vested Finance.
Great to be here, Kai.
So, some of our listeners will remember that we talked about the earnings of Apple and Tesla last week. Today, we focus our attention on Amazon, Facebook, and Google. Let's begin with Amazon, shall we? Take it away, Darwin.
Yeah, coming into the holiday season of 2020, we knew that some of these companies were going to report very strong earnings because they're backed by the work-from-home trends and e-commerce adoption. But still, they beat expectations. So let's start with Amazon first. Here are three key takeaways from Amazon's Q4 earnings. The first takeaway, top line beat expectations. Amazon beat analyst estimates again. Revenue for Q4 2020 was $126 billion. So this is the first time Amazon crossed the $100 billion quarterly revenue mark following Apple, who did this a couple of weeks ago. This is a 44% jump compared to the same period last year, beating analyst estimate of $120 billion. The second takeaway, small segments of Amazon's businesses are becoming really big businesses on their own. Take ads and other businesses, for example. In Q4 2020, that segment made about $8 billion, which is a 66% increase year over year. That's more than the physical stores, which are Amazon Prime stores and also Whole Foods, and the subscription services segment. Now, for the entire 2020, the ad segments of Amazon made about $21.4 billion in net sales. That's almost a quarter of that Facebook. That's quite amazing considering for Amazon, this is a side business. Let's put a pin on this and let's revisit this point about advertising later in this podcast. Meanwhile, the AWS segment contributed about 12% of net sales, but more than half of the profits or operating income for Amazon. And interestingly, Amazon finally achieved profitability in the international market segment. The accelerated e-commerce adoption happened not only in the US, but also in the international market. And that has pushed the international segment into profitability in the last three quarters of 2020. Now, the third takeaway that's probably the most important is Amazon announced that Jeff Bezos is stepping down from the position of CEO to become the executive chairman. So after 27 years at the helm, Jeff Bezos is finally stepping down. And in Q3 2021, the new CEO will be Andy Jassy, which is the current CEO of Amazon Web Services, AWS. So this promotion indicates that Amazon plans to emphasize the importance of AWS even more. It's an indication, at least to me, that Amazon wants to be a cloud company first and an e-commerce company second. This selection sort of echoes to me the selection of Satya Nadella back in 2014 as the CEO of Microsoft. Before elected to be the next CEO, Satya was Microsoft's cloud business leader. And ever since his elevation to the CEO-ship, Microsoft has been on a tear. Under Nadella, the company restructured and refocused itself into the second largest cloud provider after Amazon.
Wait, hold on a second, Darwin. This is big, big, big news. Why do you think Jeff Bezos is stepping down?
We can speculate, right? He said that he intends to focus his attention on new products and early initiatives. This means he will be less involved in day-to-day, but will still be involved in the important strategic discussions. But Bezos stepping down also reduces the attention that regulators and the media place on Amazon. As the second richest man in the world, Bezos, who also owns the Washington Post, which is a very large newspaper here in the US, he can draw unwanted political attention to the company. One thing is clear, after he stepped down, he will not have to appear before the future congressional hearings that are brewing from antitrust investigations that big tech will be facing from the government. This is unlike Bill Gates, who actually spent a couple of years of his life sitting in front of congressional hearing when Microsoft was facing antitrust lawsuits from the government 22 years ago.
Well, that's convenient. I'll say that Jeff Bezos stepping down has got to be the biggest piece of news to me so far in 2021. Anyway, keeping up with these positive trends, let's discuss Facebook. Seriously, Darwin, these big names just keep beating expectations.
Yeah, and they're all enjoying the same tailwind, right? Increased e-commerce adoption, increased digital advertising spend. So here are three key takeaways from Facebook's Q4 earnings. The first, Facebook beat expectations, as you mentioned. It generated $28 billion in revenue versus expected $26.4 billion. Now, Facebook ad pricing is based on a bidding system. The more demand from advertisers, the higher the cost the ads are. And if you look at the numbers, this outperformance in revenue appears to be driven not by increase in the number of user base of the Facebook family of apps, but rather the cost per impression. This means there are higher demand from advertisers to buy ads in Q4 2020. So this translates to higher average revenue per user, which is our second takeaway. For Facebook's most lucrative region in US and Canada, the average revenue per user, ARPU, went from $41 per user in Q4 2019 to $54 per user in Q4 2020. As a sidebar though, people sometimes speculate, hey, why can't Facebook just let users pay for the service and have these users opt out of the advertising? Kind of a premium Facebook experience, so to speak. Now we can quantify the break-even price point for Facebook in order to offer that. At least in 2020, Facebook made $163 from the average user living in the US and Canada. Will anyone pay this amount to be rid of ads from Facebook? I highly doubt it, right? Because it's actually more than Amazon Prime or an annual fee of Netflix. And the final third takeaway for Facebook, Apple and Facebook are actually in a spat right now. The situation briefly explained. So in March 2021, around next month or so, Apple will release the next iOS 14. In this release, Apple will mandate that users be asked before tracked for using a specific app. If this happens, the rate of people that opt out of tracking will increase. The problem is for Facebook or other third-party tracking app, the prompt is worded quite scarily. Here's what it says if you're a Facebook or other third-party app tracking. The prompt would be as such. Facebook would like permission to track you across apps and websites owned by other companies. That's in large font. And then in smaller font, your data will be used to deliver personalized ads to you. And then you have the option whether you want to allow tracking or ask app not to track. Most people would just choose not to track. But Apple also tracks its user. But here's the prompt for Apple's own advertising. It starts with, Apple's advertising platform is designed to protect your privacy and give you control over how Apple uses your information. First off the bat is textbook marketing, right? It explained the benefits for you. And then it asks you, hey, view the information Apple may use to deliver relevant ads to you. Super friendly. And then the way you opt in or opt out is a toggle bar asks you personalized ads. Yes or no? That's it. So the problem is there's this mismatch of language, right? If it's for third-party service, it's quite scary. But for Apple's own opt-in for Apple's tracking, it's quite friendly. Apple said that it's doing this for the sake of privacy. I think while it's true some apps track you to monetize and sell your data, the weather app you download, the speed test app, or the keyboard app might be tracking more data than their core purposes to resell to third parties. But there are other very legitimate apps and small businesses that rely on tracking to acquire customers. All these freemium apps and games. So Facebook stands to be most harmed by this move, since in the long run, this will hamper Facebook's ability to efficiently target iOS users, which is critical for businesses and apps that rely on Facebook to get their app discovered by users. Now, coincidentally, along with this announcement, Apple updated its own ad distribution system, which before this update was really lagging compared to competitors. Now, with the update, it is on par with Facebook's tool, enables advertisers to do more granular tracking, experimentation, and attribution. So now creates this appearance, right? On one hand, Apple is hampering ad tracking for third parties, while on the other hand, bolstering their own. Because of this, Facebook has accused Apple of using its dominant position to interfere with other apps and to preference their own solution, which, to be honest, Apple has a history of doing. For Apple, it is likely that privacy was an important consideration, but what is also likely true is that Apple wanted to retake control of app discovery from Facebook back to the App Store and increase its services revenue, right, via Apple's own ad network. So because of this, in the earnings call, Facebook management mentioned that in the short and medium term, Facebook's 2021 revenue derived from app install ads will face significant headwinds.
So following the same trend, I guess Google is probably also a beneficiary to the increase in digital ad spend. And I guess without batting an eyelid, I'll assume that Google too did well.
Yep. Here are three key takeaways from Google's Q4. The first, the company posted a record $57 billion in revenue, which is up 32% year over year, beating forecast. What's amazing is these companies are so large, but they're still growing double-digit percentage rate. So for Google, the primary driver for revenue is YouTube, which increased 46%. Now, Google believes that YouTube reaches more prime audiences between 25 and 40 years old than all of cable networks combined. The second takeaway, this earnings report for Google is the first time the company separated Google Cloud business into its own segment. So it kind of gives us a glimpse of this segment's profitability. Yes, Google Cloud revenue grew 46% from 2019 to 2020, but it is still not yet profitable. So Google Cloud lost $5.6 billion in 2020, which is a far cry from Google's core advertising business, which generated $55 billion in operating income. That said, it's still very early days for the cloud business for Google. Google is behind in terms of both timing. It started very late compared to Amazon specifically, but even Microsoft. And its ability to sell to enterprise customers is not its core competency when compared to its main chief cloud competitors, Amazon and Microsoft especially. So now Google's playing catch up. It is investing heavily in direct B2B sales force. It plans to increase its team size by 3 times. And then it's also expanding partner channels. Now, the final takeaway, the third takeaway for Google's Q4 earnings is when compared to Microsoft and Amazon, not only Google is the distant third in terms of market share with less than 10% market share compared to Microsoft's 20 and Amazon's 33% of the $130 billion market, it is also the only one not yet profitable. Amazon Web Services, the full 2020 operating income is $13.5 billion. Microsoft's Intelligent Cloud is $21.8 billion. And Google's Cloud is negative $5.6 billion. So as a side note, though, Microsoft's Intelligent Business, which contains Azure, the cloud business, also has some legacy business consulting and other enterprise on-premise enterprise software, which makes the cash flow much larger than what it is.
Okay, before we close, I thought we could do a little comparison on advertising of the digital ads tech companies. You mentioned that the Amazon ads business is getting quite large, something like a quarter compared to Facebook's, and bearing in mind, this is saying quite a lot.
Yes, so as I mentioned, Amazon made about $21.4 billion in net income from ads and others. Let's see how that compares to other ad giants. Here's a breakdown of revenue from the top four kind of ad giants that we have. Google is the largest by far, $169 billion in 2020. Facebook, about $84 billion in 2020. Amazon, its ads division, made about $21.4 billion. And then Snapchat, it's $2.5 billion. What's interesting is the growth rate. Google is growing 14% year over year the past 2 years. Facebook's 24%. Amazon is still 46%. And Snapchat's the same. As you mentioned, Kai, Amazon's ad business is growing quite large. It's now the third behind only Facebook and Google. Yes, it's about a quarter that of Facebook, but yet it's growing as fast as Snap, which is 9 times smaller than Amazon's ads business. Unfortunately, we don't know the profitability of Amazon's ads business because it actually does not disclose this in the earnings report. But let's imagine what it takes for Amazon to create the advertising business. It already has a website. It already has data centers, infrastructures through AWS, which the e-commerce platform is a customer of. It has already a website that amasses a lot of visitors that has high intent to spend money to shop. So now it just has to promote advertisement, promoted listings at the top or the side, banner ads. It has a ready-made inventory of businesses that are willing to spend money on advertising. And to generate the ad system, it probably built some technology to create the self-serve tools for advertisers to deploy ads and an auction or a bidding system. Amazon already has a lot of ingredients to serve ads on its website. As a result, Amazon's ads business probably has a pretty healthy operating margin. If you look at it, Facebook has about 38% operating margin. Now, since Amazon does not have to spend money on content moderation or any data center infrastructure, it already has that. It's probably much closer to Google's operating margin, which is about 65 to 70% if you exclude research and development and traffic acquisition costs that Google spends to drive traffic to its search engine. So it's a pretty profitable business. And it's very likely that advertisement might be the next growth driver for Amazon after the cloud business, AWS.
Thanks for that, Darwin. It sounds pretty tough to actually make some of these comparisons, I guess, partly because these companies have a bunch of overlapping businesses.
Yeah, and they don't always break down the line items cleanly, so it's not the easiest thing to analyze.
Yeah, that's quite true. Good point. Well then, that's a wrap. Thank you, Darwin.
To our listeners, we hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode. For more insights into markets and emerging technologies, please visit our blog at vested.co.in. As always, take care and stay safe.